This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are here today speaking with whom, Ryan?
Today we have a very special guest. We are going to be joined by Kara Wasden, a member of the Toast of Petaluma Toastmasters Club in Petaluma, California. Kara is featured in the January 2014 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. In the article is a Q&A with Kara about her experiences rising above the stigma of Tourette syndrome as a speaker, a speech contestant, and a nature guide. Kara Wasden, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Kara.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you joining us today. Kara, to get us kicked off here, could you share with us a little bit about some background on what Tourette syndrome actually is from a biological or neurological standpoint?
Certainly. It's a neurological genetic disorder. The best evidence that they have to this day suggests that there may be abnormalities in the brain regions of the basal ganglia and frontal lobes, as well as something going on with the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is responsible for the initiation of movement.
Okay. I think a lot of people hear Tourette syndrome and they think of swearing involuntarily and you know, tics of different parts of the body. Is that how it manifests in, you know, in most people, or is there a range?
There's a huge range, and, you know, certainly the media always portrays the most extreme of anything to get your attention, and that's what it does. Right. But the swearing, it's actually referred to as coprolalia, and it's not only curse words, but also somebody saying inappropriate or nonsensical comments, and it's absolutely involuntary. The individual has no control over it, and I've read and I've heard different statistics, but I would say it's most likely less than 10% of people diagnosed with Tourette syndrome actually have that particular symptom.
Okay.
Now, we should probably make it clear that if people just have, like, scratch their arm or scratch their shoulder or do crazy things like that, it doesn't mean that necessarily that's a tic and you have Tourette's. There's certain criteria for Tourette's syndrome, correct?
Yes, there are other tic disorders that people may have. Mm-hmm. In order to get a diagnosis of Tourette's syndrome, one must display both vocal and physical tics for a period of up to at least a year. And those vocal tics may be so mild that they almost go undetected, but it could be as little as something like sniffling or clearing one's throat, just looking like a common cold.
Gotcha.
Can you tell us a little bit about your diagnosis, when that occurred and what the circumstances were leading to it?
Yes, I actually started showing symptoms at right before fourth grade, and I went to doctor after doctor, each sending me away, telling me nothing was wrong, and I continued to seek assistance for years, basically receiving nothing and thinking I was crazy. And then finally I went to a doctor down in Southern California and sat with her for about an hour. She talked to my family and myself and observed us. And basically a diagnosis comes from observation and talking about the patient's history. And she looked up and said, "In my freshman year of high school, you have Tourette syndrome." And then she looked up at my dad and said, "And you do too." And that's when he found out.
Wow. Interesting. And did you have any idea, or your parents have any idea that might be what it was?
Not a clue.
Wow. That's really interesting.
No, they knew something was wrong, and so did I, but
yeah.
No idea what it was.
Had you heard of Tourette syndrome at that time?
No.
Wow. Really interesting. And how does it manifest for you personally on a day-to-day basis?
It's interesting. It can manifest differently every day, every hour. It's a lifetime full of surprises. And but for me, mostly the last, I'd say almost close to 20 years, I've had a lot of upper body tics, shoulder shrugs, has been sort of a consistent tic for me. But then others will pop up. I've been on guided hikes with the kids, and my leg will start kicking, and they ask, oh, are you doing a new dance step? And I've had some facial tics recently with sort of jaw crunching, and you know, so that those have been sort of more common ones with me.
Right.
But it's always, so it can always be something different. It waxes and wanes throughout one's life.
And how about the verbal tics?
The verbal tics, I've been very fortunate, and really all I've dealt with is maybe every now and then some like sniffling and throat clearing, and that's pretty much all I've had to deal with vocal tics.
And when the tics come on, do you have any kind of a sort of forewarning that there's about to be a tic? Like, I'm thinking, for example, usually when I sneeze, there's a couple of seconds where I can brace myself for it. Or does it just come completely out of the blue and take you totally by surprise?
Right. That's a very good question. And I learned just a few years ago, because they came up with something called comprehensive behavioral intervention for tics, which for 95% of the people with Tourette syndrome, they have an urge to tic before the tic occurs. So this treatment tries to teach people to be aware of that urge and to interrupt it before the tic appears. But the remaining 5% get no benefit from this treatment, and I'm in the remaining 5%. So No, I don't get an urge. It just kind of happens.
Right, right. And now, as I mentioned, you're, of course, a speaker, a Toastmaster, of course. You've been in speech contests, and in fact, we've watched a clip of you speaking on YouTube, and you're a very polished speaker. How do you manage Tourette's as a speaker in a speaking situation?
It's the amazing thing about Tourette syndrome is that, and I don't know why this occurs, but when somebody finds their passion and they focus every bit of energy on that passion, for some reason, the Tourette syndrome symptoms subside a great deal. So I don't know if you ever watched American Idol. I never did until one season. There was a young man named James Durbin on it who was a singer. And he said, when I'm on stage, I don't have a care in the world. And that's how I feel when I'm on stage. I'm so passionate about public speaking. My tics are still evident, but they subside dramatically. And they don't bother me a bit when I'm up there. It's the best feeling in the world.
Great. I've also noticed by watching the video that you are very animated. You're moving around, and it's not a distracting animation. You seem very natural and high energy. I wonder if that has something to do with it too, because if you have slight tics, if your shoulder was bouncing up and down, at least in the 3 minutes, 4 minutes that I watched, I did not see it or did not notice it.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I do like moving a little more on stage too, because that's something that I've recognized about myself, is when I am still up there and more serious, the tics, I think, maybe are a little more evident because I'm not having as much fun.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Now, I understand certainly if you're passionate about the topic and you're excited to be up there and sharing that, I could see, obviously, it's difficult for me to relate to it not having the condition, but I could see how the tics could subside. But I wonder, how do nerves affect it? If you're in, for example, a contest situation where you're really nervous, even if you are excited to deliver your speech, does that bring the tics on anymore or no?
Another great question, because actually with Tourette syndrome, stress, anxiety, for most people, absolutely bring out more tics. And, you know, I am certainly nervous prior to getting up on the stage, but once I start talking, once I'm there, there's no nervousness. I'm just having so much fun. It's the nervousness is out the door. Mm. So yeah, it doesn't affect me that way on stage.
I think it was also in your article that I read that you said being super, super, super prepared with the content so that you know that you know that you know what it is you want to get up there and share with the audience goes a long way as well.
Oh, it sure does. Mm. Before Toastmasters, I think it's maybe mentioned in the article, I was scared to raise a hand in a class. I did not want to say anything in front of anybody if I was not prepared. And I still don't feel extremely comfortable with my smoothness and clarity with impromptu, but I'm totally confident up there now, and I'm fine with making a fool out of myself too. So not a problem.
Right. Which brings me to the topic of humor. You clearly mm-hmm. approach this with a lot of humor, and that seems to be part of your way of, I forget what the word was in the article, of disarming the audience through humor. Can you talk a little bit about your experience and maybe share an example or two of some of the lines that you might use with an audience to disarm them?
Sure. Darren LaCroix mentions how, you know, at one point in his life, he wasn't funny and that it can be learned. And that is so true, because a couple of years ago, I was not funny. And, uh-huh. you know, and still, you know, I'm not a laugh a moment, but, you know, and certain people bring out the funny in me, and I love being around them. But I have a club member, Ray Ingen, who was also on that video. He introduced me, mm-hmm. and he actually just won our district conference this past spring and went on to the semifinals. And he was a professional stand-up comedian for years. Mm. He's been an amazing role model and mentor in sort of teaching me tips on how to become more humorous, and he helped me come up with a couple of those lines as well for humor. But you asked also a couple of the lines that I did have in that presentation.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, one, my body, like, is in constant movement, so, you know, looking at me, I have a 24-hour gym built in. I'm in constant movement.
Right.
And, you know, one of the lines was, so last week I attended an art auction. My tics began. It seems I purchased $10,000 worth of art.
Nice. Love it. Love it. Every time you're in a contest situation, let's say, do you mm-hmm. do something to let the audience know, to kind of incorporate something about the Tourette's so that you sort of settle that question and move on in case there are any tics that the audience might find distracting?
Yes, that would be extremely helpful. And I would love to have something about Tourette syndrome in every talk for that reason specifically. Uh-huh. But I don't want to talk about Tourette syndrome every single time that I speak. So no, in the 6 years that I competed, I talked about Tourette syndrome in two of those speeches.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yes, and the others, no.
Right.
So if they didn't know, they might have wondered.
Right.
Now, I would imagine that most of our listeners do not have Tourette syndrome, but I would also imagine that most of our listeners are self-conscious about speaking in public. So, mm-hmm. and I think this is where you could definitely help our listeners in addressing some of that, how you get over this idea of being self-conscious when you go up in front of a crowd, thinking that people are going to be judging you for your tics.
And before mm-hmm. you respond to that, Kara, too, I just want to add, too, that I've experienced as a speaker having a tic, like a facial tic, when I've been
yes.
in a speaking situation and been nervous and I feel my cheek kind of, you know, twitch. I'm like, where'd that come from? So, you know, there are certain parts of this that I think many of us who've been really nervous in a speaking situation can probably.
Well, that's a good point. There are nervous tics, and that's exactly what they're
right.
called. And sometimes, like for me, I tend to scratch a lot. Like, oh, I got an itch on my face, an itch over here, an itch over here.
Well, for me, there are so many instances in life where I've been nervous, and you know they've been tough situations. But it's just when, like I said, when I'm on stage, the nervousness is gone. I certainly have it leading up to getting up there, mm-hmm. but when I'm on stage, I just, it's like I'm transported to a whole nother world, and it's just the most incredible feeling. It's like my drug of choice. I'm on a high up there on stage.
And has it been like that since you joined Toastmasters, or did it take a while to get to that point?
No, it's always been like that. When I wasn't prepared up there when I started, no, I was a nervous wreck. But if I was delivering, even with my icebreaker, when I was so prepared, I mean, hours and hours of preparation in getting ready for that. So once I started, it felt great. But with impromptu, no, that was not a fun experience.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, I want to encourage all of our listeners to please do yourself a favor. Look in the January 2014 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, and you can find a link to the YouTube video of Kara's speech that she gave at her club. And if you don't go there, you can, or don't have a copy of the magazine, you can go to toastmasterspodcast.com. And in the description of this episode, we'll have a link to Kara's speech. Kara, I really want to thank you for joining us today. This has been a fascinating and educating discussion. And could you share with our listeners where they could go to learn more about Tourette syndrome, as well as perhaps how to get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to the Tourette Syndrome Association website, and that's at tsa-usa.org. Or you can just look up Tourette Syndrome Association, Google it. And if you have any more questions for me about Tourette syndrome, I'm always happy to answer those. So my email address is radical, R-A-D as in dog, I-C-O-O-L at mindspring.com.
Radical at mindspring.com.
Well, correct.
Kara Wadston, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate the opportunity.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.